reasons for that is I personally, and I've been talking with some friends about the space of confession in worship. And sometimes you need some time, right? It takes some time when you come in the door to actually settle in and to have our hearts prepared by the Holy Spirit to hear from God. And so what we're going to do for during the Lenten season, and we'll see how it works, is that we are actually going to have the prayer of confession after worship, after music, after the sermon. And the idea here is that our hearts would be open to God's Spirit in you, so that when we move into a time of prayer of confession, that it's genuine and it's just not words on a piece of paper read by somebody up in front. Amen? So if you want to report me to God, go ahead. Tim. These words up here our series for Lent is called Words That Give or That Bring New Life. And each of these words up here is new life in the different languages that are represented in our congregation. And I was going to do this last week, and I didn't, and so I will next week. Maybe we'll have Melinda, actually, who did all this work. Melinda, can you wait? She doesn't want to be recognized. Okay. Maybe we could have, I'm not sure. I know that one is Samoan. I know this one is Hawaiian. And this one is English. That's Spanish, right? This one is French. And I'm not sure, actually, what all the other ones are. Do you guys know? Which is this one is Chinese, Mandarin, okay? So, what's that? Korean, okay? So, I'm not going to go through them all, but I think it's amazing. It's, you know, it's an attempt in some way to sort of bring our community, those of us that come from different places of worship, to try to make sure that we're trying to be making sure that everybody feels that there's something in here that says this is yours too. And we're growing and learning how to do that, and I expect us to do more of that as well. So we are, I think, 10 days into Lent. How's it going? Who's 100%? Anybody out there 100% on all the things they've decided to do? Anyone? No? Well, I'm doing actually a little bit better than I've done in the past. I definitely have been more focused and trying to stay on track with the things that I committed to God that I was going to do. And I prayed for our church. I prayed for you, those of you by name that I know who have shared with me what your Lenten observances are going to be. I prayed for you, but I've actually prayed for us as a congregation. These 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, are meant to sort of help us to try to connect a little bit with Jesus' time in the desert, the 40 days. It's a time of observing, as Charity said, you know, to take some space in our lives, to find out what are the things in our lives that actually take space in our lives that make it impossible for us to kind of connect to the Lord and letting God actually speak to us too. And one of the things I can share with you is I've decided, this is me, if you call me and ask me for an appointment, I'm going to try to get you in that week. That has always been the way that I've always worked in the work that I've done. And so if someone says, Lena, can we meet? I'm going to look for a time as soon as possible, and I'm going to try to get you in as soon as possible. Even at times if that has meant an early morning and a late evening. And what I clearly heard the Holy Spirit say to me is you don't have to do everything in one day or in one week. And so if you call and say, let's get together, it's very hard for me to say, can we have 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out okay? And usually people are okay with that. I'm usually the one that feels bad about it. But what that has done is it's crowded my life. And so this is one of the things that I'm trying to do is try to trust God that people are okay if they can't meet with Lena for the week, like I'm actually that important in anybody's life. So that's just one of the things that God is doing. And what I'm learning is that creating that space is that I have to allow space for God, the Holy Spirit, to actually speak to me. I can crowd that out and not ever hear. And so it's interesting, today's passage comes from John 3, and it focuses on the Holy Spirit, which I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to dive in. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, this is chapter 3 in John, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." And Jesus replied, "Amen, very truly I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So right off the bat, Jesus is answering a question dude wasn't even asking, right? Isn't it funny? Sometimes, you know, Nicodemus comes and says, "We know you're a teacher." He wasn't asking a question. Jesus went completely in a different direction and says to him, "I tell you that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And if you're kind of tracking with this conversation, Jesus is going right to the heart of the problem with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, as a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, there's an issue going on with them about this idea of what it means to be born again. He replies, "How can someone be born when they are already old?" Nicodemus asks, "Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus said, "Amen, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at what I'm saying, that you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asks. Jesus' response is so great. "You're Israel's teacher, and you don't know these things? I tell you again, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony." Nicodemus, Jesus is having a conversation with someone who's a very religious person. Okay? And so in this story, I'm just challenging us to kind of find, who are you in this mix, basically? "I have spoken to you of earthly things and you don't believe. How then are you going to believe if I speak of heavenly things?" This is Jesus. "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man also must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life." Lord, just fill us all today. Help us to be open to the reading and the talking about your word in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would make clear the things that seem unclear, and that we would be people who are open and receptive to the things that you ask of each of us. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's going on here, right? Nicodemus, as I said, we know that he's a teacher. He's an expert in the law. He comes to Jesus in the dark of night. Okay, so that's a hint to all of us. This is a very secret thing that Nicodemus is coming to talk to Jesus about, because all of Nicodemus's friends and other Jewish rulers are beginning to have issue with Jesus. But Nicodemus is like, I think Nicodemus is one of these people's like, I have to find out. So I'm going to make an appointment. I'm going to call him. And I'm going to see if we can have a meeting. But we're not going to meet in the middle of the day. We got to do this on the low. Right? And so they do. This is a very suspicious thing. And I wanted to draw your attention to this one other thing. He says, Nicodemus says, we know that you must be from God. So there's already conversations with the rulers that they already know that there's something that's different about Jesus. Because he says, we see the signs, and Jesus is saying, I'm not talking to you about the signs. What I'm talking to you about is your spiritual birth. We're not going to talk about what I do. We're going to talk about you and whether or not you are people who are born of the Spirit. Born again. This is a really interesting phrase, right? Made popular, I don't know when. I tried to do some research on it. When I hear the word born again, and as I hear it in the news, people describe us Christians as born-again Christians. And what that has come to mean at least for me and my experience with that word, and as I experience other people talk about it, people use that word to describe other people who have made a decision to follow, people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, right? That's a catchphrase that we all probably have heard at some point in our lives. Do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And if you do, you are then born again. And I want to challenge that just a little bit today, because there's something that's missing from that. It's not enough to just say, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, without being recognizing that what comes with that is this idea of being born again, changed, a new birth. Jesus was surprised that Nicodemus didn't know this. He said, why don't you know this? You're like Mr. Law, Mr. Religious. And Jesus is saying, why are you surprised? And I want to also say to us, there are some things about what I'm saying that are going to be surprising possibly to you. Lena, why are you surprised? Why are we surprised that in addition to accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, like we're doing God a favor by accepting him? Do you follow what I'm saying? Just even the language and the way that we use the language sounds like we're the people that are in power and we're accepting God. And we've done God this favor by accepting him. Something has happened in the way that we treat those words that has, I think, been part of the reason why the church, in my opinion, in many places, is dead. And I feel like I can say this. I have met with many colleagues, and we talk about this all the time. And often what we're experiencing is a lot of really great churching, what I call churching, but not a lot of powerful things that are happening as a result of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. New life. Wisdom. Oh, see, y'all forgot already. Wisdom. All right. I don't want Jesus to say to me, Lena, how did you miss this? Like he said to Nicodemus. I don't want Jesus to say to the church at Lake Berean congregation, how did you guys miss this? What was your pastor talking about all those weeks? Right? Jesus reminds Nicodemus in that exchange that conversations about the Holy Spirit were part of the Old Testament law, which is why he's surprised. The Old Testament has 300 and plus more references to the Holy Spirit of God. And in Ezekiel and Isaiah alone, there are over 50. And as a teacher of the law, Nicodemus should have known this. And so that's why Jesus is so surprised. You, the teacher of the law, how do you not know this? Church, as people of God, it is on us to kind of know what's in the scripture. If God says to us, why didn't you know? And it's because we don't have a discipline of reading or studying the word, then we're going to miss some things like Nicodemus did. And I don't know what our collective commitment is in terms of reading scripture, being in the scripture, because I don't know your individual lives of devotion. But, you know, I want to just encourage you to be in the word, because I don't want us to get caught off guard by something that we didn't know. And by the way, you know, I don't think that we're to worship the book, right? We're supposed to, the word becomes flesh among us. We hold scripture and we read the scripture and we know the scripture so that it can become enfleshed in our lives. In this passage alone, Jesus five different times talks about the Spirit being born, you know, references of being born again, being born from above. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. So we kind of, you know, in three verses alone, Jesus kind of goes at this Spirit things five times. So that's, for me, I've glanced over that passage my whole life because I'm trying to get to John 3:16. Because that's the good news for who? That's the good news for me, right? And we read scripture like that. We read scripture trying to get to the good news for us, going past all the other great meaty things that God wants us to get like this. Spirit is used, as I said, five times, and it reflects Jesus' theological emphasis in this passage, both water and spirit. Water symbolizes being clean and being renewed. The Spirit symbolizes us being alive and animates our lives, right? And I don't know, I've talked to a lot of people in the last couple of weeks who said, and I even have gone through this at different points in our life, I feel dead. I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I stand up here and do praise and worship. But sometimes I feel like something's not right, or something feels, I went through a period in my life that I believe someone coined the term the dark night of the soul, where, and even Mother Teresa had this experience in her own life, right? Where you're just, you don't feel God's presence. And there's something in that. I think some of us maybe on your journey, your Lenten journey right now is about that feeling of disconnect. And what I want to say to you tonight, today is that God's Spirit is still there. God's Spirit is still at work, even if you can't feel it. Even if you can't see it. Even if everything in your flesh is telling you that it's not true or it's not alive. What we have to do is hope for and know that God is yet still at work in the dark. Okay? This idea of flesh gives flesh to birth to... Why do I keep messing that up? Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Basically, what that is saying to us is this. You and I didn't have any choice in the matter as to when you were going to be born or who you were going to be born to. That was something that was totally outside of your control. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Had nothing to do with you. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Also has nothing to do with you. If you dig into this passage and you look at the verb tenses and kind of the feel of that passage, what Jesus is trying to say is that it is all God's work in us. There's nothing that you and I can do. And sometimes we get caught trying to do a lot, we try so hard, don't we? We try in our own strength to make things right, and God is saying, I'm the one that makes it right. And our job is to give up control. Our role is to give up control and say, okay. Let me share with you a few other passages of Scripture. Do you not know that the Holy Spirit who is in you, who have come from God, and that you are not your own? Ezekiel, I will put my Spirit in you. I will put my Spirit in you and cause you to walk in my ways, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Isaiah 63:11, his people remembered the days of old of Moses. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them? 2 Timothy, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So people of God, do you get this? Do you get that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you? Oh my gosh, the Holy Spirit, the Holy, Holy Spirit? That Holy Spirit is inside of you. Come on. Come on. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. Yes. That's right, Dorothy. And I just want everybody to go home today and think about this, because we forget about it. You actually forget that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. Spirit gives flesh to spirit. I messed it up. Spirit gives birth to spirit. This is life-changing. And why are our lives still the same? This thing is like transformational. You know, all those people, I'm going to take this on the road and earn some money. Everybody else is talking about transform your lives. Let me be out there. No, God's desire is to change us, and he's not for you to change yourself. You can't do it. God's Spirit is the one that does it, and we actually don't know that. I'm convinced that 50%, that's just a random number that I'm pulling out of the sky, 50% of the Christians that walk the earth do not know that the Holy Spirit is actually in them. Because if we actually lived every day with this idea that the Holy Spirit is in us, things would be changing. We'd be more generous. We'd be more loving. There wouldn't be racism. There wouldn't be all the isms that we struggle with today. We would be taking care of the poor, right? There would be some significant shifts if we realized that the Holy Spirit is actually alive and not dead. That it's more than just you and me saying, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's actually taking the next step and saying, I am a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit, and because of that, God will do things in our lives. And not just in your personal life, I'm talking about the church. I said this before, and many of you have not been here for what I'm about to say, because I don't think many of you have not been here for this little piece of thing that I keep saying. Why would you wake up on a Sunday morning all the weeks of your life and come to a place if your life never changes because of it? If you don't believe the words, and if you don't believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is in us to do things, if we don't actually believe that, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. Especially on a night that I lost an hour of sleep, I wouldn't be here. Right? There's something about this that we have to kind of consider and take into us. Spirit gives birth to spirit. It's not just about you on your own strength doing better, which is what religious people do. We want to do it better. We want to get it right. We want to be right. It's just not about becoming a better person. It's actually about this idea of being born again. Born again believer. Reborn. The Holy Spirit in you. Rebirthed. The power of the Holy Spirit in you. Water cleanses us from sin, and God's Spirit gives us new life and a new heart. We're called not to live in old ways with old habits and old thoughts, but called to be people who live new every day. What does this mean for you and me? Well, here's the obvious question. Are you like Nicodemus? Is this brand new news to you? Was this news to Lena? It definitely was news to Lena as I was preparing this sermon, because I hadn't really sat in that passage for very long. Did you know that God's Spirit gave birth to the Spirit that's in you? Had nothing to do with you. It was God's initiative. Something needs to change, and that's what God wants to do. What is it going to cost you? So we've talked about words that bring new life. The word that brings new life in this message today is that the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit that is in you and enlivens and animates everything that you do. It's what makes the Word of God become flesh, where people can kind of taste it and know that God is good. What do you have to give up, though? Because we all know, like, new life requires death. That's the season that we're in. That's what we're moving towards, right? Maybe it's the fear of not knowing what that's going to mean for you. What will you have to surrender? Control, for one. Lena Thompson, first in line. Right? Is there a fear of actually connecting to God in such a way that you don't even have control of how that happens? Right? I don't know. I'm thinking back to some of the experiences that I've had. This idea that comes from Hebrews 12:1, to let go of the sin that so easily entangles us and to run this race. And what is that sin? Greed, unhealthy attachments, lust, unresolved anger, resentment. There's the corporate sin, institutional sin, racism, bigotry, the love of power and abuse in relationships. There's another passage that I want to read to you. You know, how do we begin to sort of walk this out with the Holy Spirit that's in us? The scripture says to set your hearts and minds on things above and not on earthly things. Set your heart and your mind on things above and not earthly things. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if you have any grievance against someone. If you're sitting here today and you got some stuff between you and some other people, it's pretty clear the scripture says, work it out. And I'm not saying, you know, it's easy. God didn't say it was going to be easy, but God says, as people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're called to work it out. Forgive as God forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What are the idols in our lives? You can't undo the idolatry that's in your life on your own power. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Your time, your money, what are the things that are the idols? Your family, is your family an idol? Your culture, is your culture an idol? Is your ethnicity an idol? Right? All those things that kind of come, we put those things above God, and then they become idols that we worship. And God wants us to be free. All that we want to do here at Lake Berean, as an expression of the church, these things that we talk about loving our neighbors, about reconciliation, about justice, we cannot do it if we're dead spiritually. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can make these things happen. To be truly intergenerational requires the Spirit working in us. To love those who are different, right? What we're doing here requires that God's Spirit is alive in us. How do we not understand these things? How do we not understand these things? These are Jesus' words to Nicodemus. I wrote a few things down that I'll share, and then I'm going to be finished. Sometimes it's a matter of ignorance. You just didn't know. That kind of could be Nicodemus' argument, maybe. Sometimes it's a matter of denial, and you just don't want to believe that anything that I just said the last 20 minutes is true. You want to deny that. Sometimes, and this is a lot of us, it's just a matter of ambivalence. I feel kind of neutral about that. Okay, I'm going to just put it out there. My prayer is that we wouldn't feel neutral about this. That somehow in the ways that you're working out with God, what it means to follow him, my prayer is that we are not neutral about the power of the Holy Spirit of what God wants to do in our lives. And sometimes it's just a matter of saying, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to change. I like things just the way they are. And that's the journey of Lent. And I just want to ask you to just sit with this question. How are you experiencing the Holy Spirit in your life? How are you experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? The good news about Nicodemus is this, you know, I don't know if you know this, but he has that interaction with Jesus in chapter 3. In chapter 8, Nicodemus pops up again, and he's actually he's around when Jesus is doing some teaching, and there are other Pharisees that are calling Jesus on the carpet, and Nicodemus actually kind of comes to Jesus' defense. So he kind of sides with Jesus. And the very next time that we see Nicodemus is at the end after the crucifixion, and he's there with Joseph taking the body and caring for Jesus' body after he's taken down from the cross, which is really reserved for people that are kind of close in. So, you know, so that we know that Nicodemus was in a process of the Holy Spirit and what it means to be born again, that Spirit gave birth to the Spirit in Nicodemus, I think that there's witness that it took some time. It took, I don't know, 18 chapters or something like that. But Nicodemus stayed at the table. Nicodemus continued to consider the things that God has for him. And that's basically what I want to ask you to do as well. How is the Spirit, how are you experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you? Because God put it there. God put it there. We're going to have a time of, Miranda's actually going to sing, and this is a time for us to just reflect a little bit,